Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Praise God. Come on, stand with us. It'll never lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed for me. What a wonderful, wonderful message and song today. Did you enjoy the presence of God in worship today? Give the Lord a big hand for what I believe that He was working with us. Today I want to call your attention to James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, and then we'll go into chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. We're going to talk about faith. How many of you believe you have faith? How many want your faith increased? Well, I want to let you know there's something missing about your faith. We're going to talk about that today. We'll go into James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, then we'll go to the other verses, and we're going to read this, and the responding verses you will find on the screen as we go forth. 1, verse 22 says this, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And I'm going into chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "What does it profit, brethren, if someone says to you, who he has faith and he does not have works, can faith save him?" And one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warm, be filled," but you do not give him the things which he needed for the body, what does it profit? But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works." But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone, or faith only. Likewise. Verse 26 together. For as the body without the spirit is dead, how it works is dead also. Let's pray. Father, today we're going to learn something about faith. The faith that we believe that we had, or that we have. But Lord, also there's a combination of faith that is a missing element. If it's not in there, it just seemingly does not work. And Lord, I pray today that as we look into your word, that we would have a baptism of a renewal of our faith. And at the same time, for some of us, to restoration of faith. And for others, for the first time, we know why it hasn't been working. Holy Spirit, direct our thoughts and our minds today, and we'll give you all the glory and the honor and praise. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. You know, getting ready for this message, I was thinking, you know, how do you really find a subject or a title that works with this? And my subject today is Shake Well Before Using. Have you ever seen that on some particular element, medicine, this type of thing? and it's shake well before using. Ever not look at that particular thing and not shake well before using, and what was the result? It didn't taste good. It didn't work. I mean, there's some things, you may have all the elements in place, but if you don't put them together the right way, oh my. There's certain things, I don't know how many of you try your expertise at cooking, but there's certain things you just cannot do when you're cooking. It says do this before you do that, and you try to do that before you do this, it really doesn't turn out well. Now, I was going to do a cooking demonstration today, but I didn't have time to put it together, so maybe the next time I teach on this. But if you add certain things before other things, it doesn't work out, because it's not designed to work that way. Well, faith is often used as an interchangeable word between religious affiliation and a firm belief system of believers who have accepted the word of God as the final authority over everything in the universe. However, the happenstance is that the word of God without the combination of faith will often leave many without a final resolve as the power of the word to prevail in any given situation. Simply meaning this, there is much that must be applied to the life of a believer to fortify their influence and ability to capture the attention of the world, looking for real answers to provoke a true hope in Jesus. In other words, you can say all you want to about I believe this and I believe that, but there's an element that's missing. Here's the three questions. First of all, what are you looking or hoping for when you read the Word of God? Now, I know many of you are very devoted. Oh, I got to read the Word today, and I got to get in my Bible and get my Word on. Why? So you can check it off the list? Because oftentimes it becomes a checkpoint. And I guarantee you, within probably 30 minutes after you read the Word of God, you can't remember one thing you read. Uh-oh, here he goes again. But it's true. But the question is, what did you expect to get from the Word of God when you read it? If there's no expectation, there will be nothing that's resolved. It's just a check mark on your list of Christian things to do. Let me move on to the second thing. We'll revisit these things in various forms as we go through this message. Number two, does the Word of God appear to be a compilation of stories of Jesus and other believers who have received answers to prayers that you have yet to experience? In other words, you look and say, gee, I wish that was happening in my life. Nothing like that's ever happened to me. And have you disqualified or dismissed yourself from the Word of God that you read ever having effect in your life in your everyday walk? What's your expectation? Number three probably digs a little bit deeper. Do you read the Word and hope that something of what you have read may one day become a personal experience? Have you reached the realm of, I wish I had or I wish I could, but it doesn't seem like I ever will? I love the scripture. I love the Word of God because it begins to appeal to us is, that God wants to really do some transformation in our life. Here's a question for you, and you won't get to answer it out loud, but I want you to just ask yourself this question. You have 10 seconds to figure it out in your mind, and I won't ask, well, maybe I will. What is your favorite Bible story? Anybody want to shout out one? Somebody said Revelation. Ooh, boy, somebody's way out in the deep water. Jesus. Tell me all the beasts and everybody else out there. Oh, God help you. I'm with Daniel and the Lions, and I never graduated. I don't know. But seriously, if we start talking about our favorite scripture, there's a reason why you're attracted to that. There's a reason why it has resonated with you. Because somehow the truth of that particular scripture has stayed with you perhaps all of your life. And for me, it was always the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, and I'll tell you why. My favorite scripture is in that particular discourse is, our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we're still not going to bow down. You know what it tells me is that even if God doesn't come through in the way I think he should come through and spare my life, I'm still not going to compromise my conviction because of what's going on in the world. And that's a solid, because he says, you got to bow down or I'm going to take your life. You know what? My life is already sealed in Jesus. I don't have to worry about that. So that'll always be my favorite. But moving on, reading the word mixed with faith, we go back to James chapter 1, verse 22. It says this word, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves." Becoming a doer of the word is directly related to what comes out of our mouth. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Listen to what this says. But Matthew 12, 34. "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good of good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." You know what comes out of your mouth is what you really believe. So what? No, I don't really believe. I don't care if it's, you know, you kind of get exasperated, you kind of get disillusioned. But what comes out of your mouth is what you really believe. The things that we say are a reflection of what we truly believe about anything in life. We often say things about issues or even products that we have limited knowledge about. Ever endorse a product that you wish you hadn't? Ever endorse a restaurant you wish you hadn't? Oh, they've got the best sushi, which I don't like sushi, but that's another story. But anyway. Oh, they got the best fried chicken. They got this. And then they go there, and that person goes there, and the chef's having a bad day. And it's all on you what the chef didn't do. Be careful what you endorse. Be careful what you stand behind. It may not turn out the way you think it will. But, you know, here's the deal. When what we endorse with our speech greatly affects what we believe and what people will believe about us. If you say Jesus is the only way and Jesus is the only truth, then why are you trying everything else? Why are you going over there? We'll get back to that in a moment, but there's many other places we need to visit. When we read the word or the word, our speech must come into alignment with what we have read, which means this: if we read about the Lord being our strength, and we cannot allow our circumstances to reflect, we allow our circumstances to reflect fear and weakness, do we believe what we read? The Lord is my strength, he's my song, these type of thing. But we're fearful, we're depressed, we're complaining. Which do you believe? The word has to be mixed with faith in what you have read. And if it's just like you're reading a magazine, says, "Oh, those are wonderful concepts and precepts about life," but we got to digest it into our spirit. How about this? Worry is often a response to what we really believe is going to happen, in spite of what the Word of God says. Well, I know the Word of God says this, but then why did you add "but" to the sentence? If the word of God says it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But when we have to add that thing in there, it really causes there to be conviction. Well, here's a statement. Listen to this. I was so worried that I prayed all night. What's wrong with that sentence? What's wrong with that sentence? I'm so worried, I just talked to Jesus about all that. Honey, if you believe Jesus, tell God about it, go to sleep. But we do, and we say crazy stuff like that. Oh yeah, I know God's gonna, but I'm just so stressed out. Take the stress or take God's word. You cannot have them both. One will not mix with the other. Simply put, sometimes we wait too long to pray about the things that we need. Well, let's go into 2 Corinthians. Watch this. Got to have some word on this. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." Leave that up there for a moment. They used to say it this way: you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth at the same time. What that simply meant is you're saying one thing over here and it's saying one thing over there, but it's coming out of the same mouth. The word of God mixed with our faith should point to the Lord as the first person we seek when we are in need. Here's the question: is he first or last? Or is he middle? Well, I'll try a few things, and if it doesn't work, then I'll ask the Lord about it, really. Sometimes, when I made that statement here, and I want to be very careful when I say, sometimes we wait too late to pray about the things that we need. Does it mean that, you know, that God's going to say, if you don't, you have a, you know, have an expiration time, if you don't pray before then you're just on your own? That's not what I'm trying to say. But we let all the other things come in to uproot any faith that we would have to believe God for an answer. We get overwhelmed by circumstances, we get overwhelmed by other things happening, and therefore it rules out the possibility that God could intervene. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just so far down the road, there was a, oh well, I guess we might as well pray about it. Huh? Nothing else is working, let's pray about it. Really? Let me ask you a question. How many of you like being the last resort? Oh, I invited everyone to the party. They couldn't come, so I called you. That's how we do God. We tried everything. We ran out of money. We ran out of friends. We ran out of other contacts. So, oh, God, well, I guess I might as well talk to you. What do you think? Really? Pretty amazing how we do these things. Well, the word of God mixed with faith, casting all our care upon him, is not a source of weakness, but rather our response to an invitation from Jesus to love and care for us. Because you cast it on Jesus does not make you weak. It reinforces your strength. Jesus gave you a divine invitation to come to him no matter what the situation happens to be. And the thing that I would include with that is, if we fail to speak the word out, there is a good chance that what we are struggling to mix our faith, there's a good chance we're struggling to mix our faith with the word of God. If we fail to speak the word of God out, it was like some hidden code. Here's how it works. The confession of our mouth is the most important act of faith that we can demonstrate about Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, here's a scripture that every person in this room should have their relationship with Jesus anchored upon. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This is what it says. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Okay. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How many of you believe that? How many of you are hoping that's true? That's good. I'm glad that some people are honest with that. I hope that's true. I'm going to settle that for you today. But you'll note what it says, and this seems almost, it's like it's backwards, that you should probably believe, then confess. But no, but the Bible says you confess, then believe. What? Let me help you with that. Here's how it works. The confession of our mouth comes before the belief in our heart. Is that the word of God? Then why do we confess before we can honestly say we believe? You know, I don't know any person here that wants a person's kind of half-hearted commitment. But with our mouth, it's a confession of what goes on. It's a confession of what's really honestly and truly in our heart. But our mouth has to give witness to what we really believe in our heart. But you say, oh, I believe, I have a relationship with Jesus, but it's a private relationship. I don't tell anyone about it. Really? I'm married, but I don't tell anyone who I'm married to. It's a secret. There's a lady over there sitting near the wall. I've been married to her for 43 years. And if you ask her, she knows who she married to. Oh, yes, she does. I didn't ask everybody. I asked her, and she said yes. And I confess with my mouth, that is my girl. Do you get it? That's my confession. Faith comes by speaking and proclaiming the word of God. We show what we believe by what we release through our words of confession and receive by faith because of what we heard in his word. If thou shalt confess with the mouth, with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. In other words, everything or what you've heard about Jesus at that point, you believe, I believe that Jesus is the only Son of God. And by that confession of belief, you can be saved. Not, but I hope he's the only Son of God. I know there's many other options and we'll see what happens. That ain't gonna work. So it's your words mixed with faith that brings about salvation. And that's very important for you to know. If we receive the word of God and act upon it right away, we will be less apt to forget it. Now, let me give you a little proof on this. We must be willing to act upon the word immediately whenever possible. How many of you liked the delayed reaction of your children? I need you to go in and clean up your room. They're looking, okay. An hour later, you go in there. The room is exactly the way it was an hour ago. What does that make you believe? Well, yeah, they're going to clean it, but they're going to do it on their own time. Is that acceptable? No, it isn't. You have an expectation. So then we add something to it. I need you or I want you to go and clean up your room right now. They heard what you said. You come back an hour later and it's still in the same condition. What do you call that? You call that rebellion. I'm going to get around to it. I didn't tell you when you get around to it. I said clean it. But we have to act upon the word when it's spoken. Speaking of the word out loud is the best way to remind ourselves that it is talking to us. I know many of you perhaps have learned this as a rule or a tactic if you're in any type of business. If you want to remember someone's name, speak it out back to them. Is that not true? They say, oh, my name is John Smith. You say, okay. But if you want to remember them, you say, well, John Smith, thank you so much for coming, and I hope to see you again, John Smith, before so-and-so. Have a good day, John Smith. If you say it three times, chances are you will remember their name. But you say, oh, John Smith, and just kind of, oh, yeah, was it John Smith, Joe Smith, Mr. Smith? Was it Abercrombie and Finch? What was it? If it's important to you, you'll speak it out. Or you'll make an effort to keep it in your hearing. That's the reason why it happens to us many times we don't remember. The spirit and life are present in the words of Jesus declared by the believer. John chapter 6, verse 63. This, I hope, will be helpful to you. John 6, 63. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now, I want you to digest that thought and that concept. That if the words that Jesus has spoken to us are spirit and life, why don't we speak them out more? Huh? I never thought of that. I mean, why aren't you declaring the thing when the Lord says, I'm the Lord that heals you, then say, why don't you speak out and say, Jesus is the Lord who heals me. Jesus is the one who's forgiven me. Jesus is the one who's done all these different things. If you speak it out, and even speak it out to more than yourself than to other people, guess who? What you'll do? You'll start believing that. The word mixed with faith. Well, Jesus declared in his word that he will come to us. So if you're in a situation and you're feeling alone, you're feeling abandoned, you're saying, you know, Jesus, your word declared that you would come to me. Jesus, I need you to come to me right now. Is that rude? No. We're speaking out what his word said, and somehow it registers in our brain, there's an expectation, according to what his word says, that Jesus, I invite you to come to me now because I need you right now. Now, here's unfortunately what I have done for many, many years, And I've started not to do this. I said, well, I know that in my head, so I just kind of start to let things roll around in my head. But, you know, my mouth needs to get the enjoyment of saying some of that stuff. Here's another aspect of it. When we're instructed to fear not, we need to speak out against the enemy. Says, say something coming into your life. The Word of God says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. A power of love, sound mind. So therefore, when fear happens to come that direction, it says, you know, I rebuke the spirit of fear and I accept a sound mind in this situation. Say it out loud. Matter of fact, say it so the devil can hear you, what you're saying. It's a declaration. It's an indictment against all the enemy's trying to do. What about the facts when you feel a little bit alone and you feel abandoned, you feel afraid? Then you need to speak out from the Word of God that I'm not alone. Jesus promised he'd never leave me. Well, here's another place. We must believe that Jesus is for us all the time. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. This is a great scripture. 2 Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Wow. That is power-packed with truth, with an opportunity for us to believe. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief. That's better than any warranty I've ever seen. You're chosen from the foundation. Now, he said, are you starting to preach a doctrine of eternal security? I'm preaching the Word of God, that this is what the Word of God says that happened from the very foundation. Don't get hung up on different theological perspectives. What about this? We cannot receive what we do not believe. I can tell you I've got $100 for you in my pocket. And I just might. Does he have $100 in his pocket for me? Yeah. And I'm going to give it to you. If there's not an anticipation, I don't believe you got no $100. Matter of fact, I don't care. I'm going home. You ain't going to get your $100. Because I got it in my pocket. You must be open to receive what I have for you. But if you've already dismissed it, there ain't no way. Because here's what will happen. You will try to think of the reasons why you can't receive it or why I shouldn't give it to you rather than receive it. So, I don't know, he's just probably trying to play with my head. You know, I'd like to have that $100, but you know what? I'm going home. I'm not going to let nobody play me. God doesn't play you. God makes promises, and he keeps every single one of them. Come on, give him a hand. That's okay. But the Word of God exposes all of our deceptions and replaces them with truth, which means our faith must go beyond our ability to make things happen in our own lives. On top of that, we must be willing to apply the Word to our circumstances. Not randomly. So, you know, some of us have gotten involved in what I call a Christian smorgasbord. If something going wrong in your life, oh, just get in the concordance and find something that words on this book, and all of a sudden you start reading all those things, thinking that God's obligated because you read it, well, I'm going to make it apply to me. There's a rhema word which God speaks to you, you know, from his Word and speaks into your spirit. But there's also the receptivity we have that we must have confidence in the Word of God from the very beginning, not looking for a wish list to be fulfilled. Well, apply it to your circumstances. What does that mean? When God speaks, we must be willing to do something. Turn to your neighbor and says, you got to do something. Tell them right now, you got to do something. You got to do something. What? I thought God does everything. No, you got to do something, baby. Now watch this. That's also, faith by itself if it does not have works, is dead. But someone said, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Isn't that interesting? I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings, but the devil believes more in Jesus than you do. What? He knows that he's got all power, but his job is to convince you that he's more powerful than God is. We must mix God's word with our true belief system, which means this, that we must not complain or make excuses for our faith that is not working. Well, it would have been okay if she hadn't, or would have worked out just fine if he hadn't. When you put circumstances in a situation as an alibi or an excuse for the word of God not working, we've missed it totally. Why don't you come down to the very fact that excuses will get you nowhere. And the idea is that we must not complain and make those excuses. Cares and worries will always be an option for those who are looking for excuses not to trust or believe Jesus and his words. Wow. If there's one thing I'd like to erase from all of us, myself included, is the reasoning that we use to try to make excuses for our life being in the case of shambles or disbelief that we walk in. I believe this next scripture will help you a lot because it's one of the fears that we have to overcome. My statement is this: we should not fear getting it wrong. I'm going to say it again. We should not fear getting it wrong. Some of the biggest fears that we have, or the biggest fear that we have, anyone has, I believe, is if you heard it and you heard it wrong, or you didn't get it right, and so therefore you don't want to try anymore. Let's go into 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. This is great. And I'll read through this rather quickly. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered and said, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went and he lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Go to the next verse, please. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Just leave it right there, verse 8. I'll pick up at 9, 10 just a minute. Let me explain to you the situation. You have this young man, Samuel. He's in the house of Eli. He's been appointed to be the next prophet that's going to take his place. And he's hearing the voice of the Lord. But because of his lack of experience, he thinks it's Eli calling him. And so he hears the voice, Samuel, Samuel. He goes, he says, you called me. He says, no, I didn't. He goes back and he lays down. It happens a second time. And he goes, Samuel, Samuel. He says, you called me. Yeah. He says, no, I didn't call you. Now, I'm going to leave it at 2. I don't need you to vote on this because I already know the answer. If the question is, how many of you thought at one time you heard God say something and it turned out he didn't? And maybe it was another situation you thought you heard God and he didn't. Because of those mistakes, some of you are hemmed up right now and you won't trust the fact that you'll ever hear God accurately. So you're just kind of so apprehensive that you're just kind of waiting. There has to be an avalanche or an earthquake before you're going to do anything again because you're afraid of making a mistake. Let me go on a little bit further now into verse 9. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as in other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. I want to move you from the place where you thought you heard God to the place where you know you heard God. How does that work? The first thing I got to remove from you is your fear of making a mistake. You say, well, how do you know it's really God when he's talking to you? You know, it's a very fact of when you examine the circumstances, and it's not based upon your righteousness, it's based upon his. But then when you have a right relationship with God, when there's no reason why God wouldn't speak to you, why wouldn't you be obedient to God? But if we've ever made a mistake, and it looks like we've made a mistake, well, I'm never going to embarrass myself again. You need to take your pride off the table. The fact that, have you ever made other mistakes? Absolutely. But he says, speak, Lord, but here's the part. For your servant is listening. What's your category? How do you see yourself? Are you a servant or just any old person that might be around? Well, one thing you know, Samuel was committed and submitted to Eli, who was his mentor. He was willing to take the risk of being wrong. He received instruction that he needed to get it right. Can you work with me for a moment or two? I want you to take this as an opportunity to release yourself from all the mistakes you have made up to this point. You say, oh, I can't do that. There's still some. No. That Jesus will forgive you for every mistake, every misinterpretation, every misconception that you ever had. He'll erase the slate to the point where you can have a fresh word directly from him. He said, that's great. Because God wants you to hear from him. Do you believe that? Do not walk in fear of not being able to hear God. That's a very important thing. Well, don't receive an evil report of the enemy over the promise of God. This is another one. Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 31. This is pretty good. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession of what, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. He said, what is this all about? This is before the children of Israel, they were about ready to go into the promised land, and they spied out the land. And Caleb went in there and he spied out the land. He says, let's go up against them. We're able to defeat them. But there were 10 spies that were sent out. Two of them said, we can make it. 8 of them said, we couldn't. And the 8 against the 2 said, we're not going. If you're looking for the majority to rule, you're in trouble. Because the majority can be wrong. And in this case, they were wrong. And you know what it cost them? 40 years wandering around in the wilderness trying to figure it out. And you know what God did? He waited till all them wrong-thinking folks died before they entered into the promised land. You don't have 40 years to waste. I know I don't. I did the math the other day. I ain't planning on being 133, okay? Even when the odds are against you, be willing to stand with the truth of what you believe Jesus has, Jesus' power to work through you. See, the majority rules, and the majority can be a fool. Jesus plus one believer is a majority. Don't spend 40 years waiting for your doubters to die in order for you to inherit what God has promised you years ago. The word mixed with faith. The word is, this is the promised land. Faith is that God says, you can overcome them. Believe what he's saying. Well, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Remember this scripture. This one will save your life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What does that mean? It means if you declare what the Word of God says, you'll never miss. Your destiny is often controlled by the things that we speak out of your mouth. Some of you curse your own self. Oh, I'll never be able to do that. Oh, I can't do that particular thing. Oh, I'm just so stupid. Oh, I just always make bad decisions. And you just go on and on. And the devil loves it. You don't need anybody against you. You are enough against you. What does God say about you? Read what the Word says about His beloved. It'll be something totally different. Well, sarcasm and pessimism are the enemies of our faith being mixed with our works. You know, my mama never got it right. I'm just like her. My daddy was hard-headed, and you know that. I inherited that from him like it's a trophy. Seriously? Really? Is that what you want to be, your identity? Come on. We must hold fast to the profession of our faith. Hebrews chapter 10, 23. I'm just about there. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. What does it mean to waver? You just go back and forth. Sometimes it's like, you know, I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down. Come for to carry me home. And sometimes I'm level to the ground. Come for to swing low, sweet chariot. Come for to carry me. That's the dumbest song on this planet. Swing low, no. Swing high, you'll have to reach up there to get me. I'm not doing the down low work anymore. I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus. You have to swing high to get hold to me. I'm feeling inspired. Jesus. Miracles are a powerful demonstration of faith and works coming together. I got to read through this real quickly, and I'm going to borrow 6 or 7 minutes from you. Besides, you're on spring break. It don't really matter, okay? Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Here we go. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple of the hour of prayer at the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried there, who they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms for those who enter into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Go on to the next verses, please. And fixing his eyes on them, on him with John, Peter said to him, "Look at us." So he gave his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Hold on right to that. Do you know something? People are expecting to receive something from you. You know why? Because you believe in Jesus. If you're going where God sent you, they're expecting to receive something from you. And stop disappointing folks. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." I may not have what you want, but I've got what you need. Because you think you need silver and gold. Silver and gold is not going to get you up off the floor. Silver and gold is not going to teach you how to walk and take care of yourself. That's just temporary, but I got something that'll be eternal, or that'll change your whole way of looking. Well, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That's pretty amazing. I think we have another couple of verses, and I think we're done. Yeah. And so he, leaving up, stood and walked, entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people who saw him walking and praising God. Let me summarize this rather quickly. The Lord is looking for people who are willing to have their routine interrupted. Every day of your life, you have an opportunity to do something great for God. Somebody say amen. Amen. But it's going to cost you to be able to look at your routine and have it interrupted. You are going this way, and God says, "Hold on for a minute. I want you to stay here and talk to him." Are you willing to do that? Another little piece of this is Jesus is not intimidated with what we consider our daily routine and all that we know our life to be. Now, I thought about this. Here's this man who's sitting at the gate of the temple. Somebody was committed to sit him at the gate of the temple every day because the man couldn't walk. So some of his friends somehow drug him to the temple, set him there for this routine. But that wasn't really helping. It helped him to survive. But God wants you to help people to thrive, not survive. So in order for this miracle to happen, there must be openness to change. Our faith should not be fearing being examined by those in need. In other words, Peter and John were confident in whose power they were operating. And I think you should be confident that you're in your power that you're operating in Jesus. We should not fear what people are expecting of us as a believer to deliver something that is beyond our ability to provide. Alms. He's expecting money. Don't be afraid to tell people, I don't have what you want, but I've got what you need. The least you can do for a person that's homeless is pray for them. Amen. Some of us, we walk right on by, like we don't even seem like they're invisible. Help us, Jesus. Some of you, it would scare you to death if you said, in the name of Jesus, I cast every demon off of you that's kept you in this position, and God is going to set you free, and you're going to have a whole new life. It's, oh, no, no, I don't believe that. You got the wrong Jesus. That's all I know. The word plus faith is all that is needed. Worship team, make your way up here. I've got these last couple of points to make, and that'll help me make them quicker. We must be ready to allow our faith in Jesus and the power of his word in us to work miracles, which means we have already been deputized to heal the sick and afflicted, but we may not have what they want, but the ability to give them what they really truly need. And the name of Jesus has the power to heal without any limitations. Simply put, the miracle of healing was completed when Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. See, in the name of Jesus is the power. But you know what? Reaching down, lifting him up empowers him to do something he's never done before. We have to take it a little bit further, because we can say all the different words and all the little catchphrases type of thing, but we have to have faith in the fact that he says, well, I said in the name of Jesus, he didn't get up, I guess he's not supposed to walk. Jesus says, take it a little bit further. Add some faith to that with the works of you reaching out your hand with the expectation he's going to stand on his feet and do something he's never done before. Faith and works work hand in hand. There's another part of this message, I'll preach it soon. But today I want to activate your faith in a whole different realm. Bow your heads with me, everybody. Here's the thing I want to ask you. Are you stuck? I say, what do you mean stuck? You're waiting for the next event to come along, and somehow God has spoken to you, but it's going to take someone reaching down, taking you by the hand, and empowering you to do something you've never done before. I want to speak faith over everybody in this room who has heard the word of God but has never allowed faith to be activated in them by doing something based upon what you've heard. I want to say this for a fact. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you, you need to come to this altar today and to relinquish all of your fear of making mistake, or mistakes you've made, or relinquish your fear of not having the confidence that when the word of God comes to you that you will speak it out and it'll make a difference in other folks' lives. I'm going to pray over you today, and then there's other people here that would say, you know, Pastor, I've never really given my life over to Jesus because I've seen so many hypocrites in the church that will say one thing and do another. And I need to get that out of my mind, out of my heart, so God can do what needs to be done. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak life, I speak hope, I speak trust, I speak confidence over people here who have never gone beyond the fact of just reading the word, but they're ready to act upon it. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, there are people here today who say, you know, Pastor, I really need to activate my faith today by putting my whole trust and confidence in Jesus. And I'm willing to do that today. with heads bowed, with eyes closed. If that's you, lift your hand. Say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it today. God bless you. God bless you. Someone else, put it up there. Put it up there. If that's you, lift up high. That's right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. We'll give you a chance to respond in just a moment. There's others of you that are here that already made your confession in Jesus. But you're saying, you know, Pastor, I need to have removed from me the inhibitions that when I hear the voice of God, and I thought I'd heard God's voice before, and it didn't turn out the way I thought it would, and so I'm kind of apprehensive of even trying anymore. Maybe it's embarrassment, maybe it's pride, but today I'm willing to relinquish all of that, to activate my faith in Jesus and to have him renew my spirit. You may have walked away from God. You may find yourself in that place where you're just kind of on a hold pattern basis, but today I want to have my faith fully activated by the power of Jesus and to be all he wants me to be. If that's you, lift your hand right now and say, I need that to happen right now. Leave it up, lift it high before I can see it. God bless you. 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 Everyone stand to your feet. Everybody. Everybody stand up. I want everybody, lift your hands with me right now. Everybody, 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 everybody. I want you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I need my faith renewed and strengthened to be mixed with the Word of God. I ask you today to overcome my fears with a greater belief and trust in your Word. That your word in me, mixed with faith, will produce miracles. Thank you for your love, for your grace, for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Applaud the Lord today. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.